My deepest apologies, Councillor.
My fault.
Well, Councillors, we'll make a start. Apologies for being a wee bit late. We've no other meeting in Newry earlier, and a few of us was at it. Apologies. John Turner. Councillor Brown. Councillor Timmins. Owen Devlin. I think David Taylor's running a wee bit late. And before when any more, I be leaving at 6:15. I have another engagement. So under Chairman's remarks, first of all, I would like to welcome Kieran Gordon and Conor Hockey to tonight's AHC meeting and future AHC meetings during Roland's appointment as Interim Director of Neighbourhood Services. I would also like to notify members that the following centres will be closed all day Easter Sunday, 1st April, Kilkeel, Ballymote, St Coleman's, Newry, Newry Leisure Centre, Down Leisure Centre, Newcastle Centre, only seasonal facilities open. I would also like to congratulate the new post holders in outdoor leisure who took up their new posts on the 1st of March. Declan Crilly, Outdoor Leisure Officer. Colin Morrison and Ryan Flynn, Sports Development Officers. I would also like to congratulate the new post holders in Community Engagement on their recent appointments. Michelle McEwen, Community Services Manager, West. Joe Deegan, Community Services Manager, East. Paul Pickering, Caretaker Driver, East. I would also like to congratulate the team in the Programmes Unit who have successfully completed the rollout of the Work It Programme and have exceeded all of their targets for the programme. I would also like to take this opportunity to welcome Councillor Roisin Hile to the committee tonight. This is her first meeting, and just I hope you have an enjoyable term in the rest of this committee. Roisin, you have a hard act to follow in Councillor Burns, and you know it will be a hard act to follow. So it will, but we welcome you here tonight. And two other issues I would like to raise under Chairman's remarks. The first one is drugs abuse in our district. We had a motion come forward to council there recently in relation to mental health, which was unanimously supported. It was an excellent motion, I thought, that was brought forward by Councillor Brown. I have been approached in the last number of months in relation to drugs abuse within our district and within our area, and asking would it be possible maybe to do something or to run a programme out. Now, I think we as a council need to be seen to be doing something. So I was going to ask the officers here, would it be possible to maybe go away and maybe bring together a paper what we could do? Should it even be through our local DEAs? I think we need to have awareness sessions throughout our DEAs, because drugs, we all know, is wrong. It's a scourge in society. And that, and it's even making young people take their lives. So it is. And I think we should be seen to be doing something. So I would like to ask the officers, maybe Janine, would it be possible maybe to flag this up to the DEA coordinators?
Sure.
in relation to it, because I think it would be a worthwhile exercise. I know we run one about 4 years ago in Killyleagh because we had two suicides within a week. It was well attended, so it was, and I think something like that should be run out in each DA. So I hope yous would all be in agreement that we can do this, because you know it shows that we as a council, you know, really take this seriously. So we do. Now, the second item I have under Chairman's remarks is over the last month, we have had treacherous weather when it had come to the snow and that. And I want to focus here on carers in the community. Now, I've seen it firsthand, and I'm sure we've all seen it firsthand, that our carers in the community go the extra mile. I've seen them abandoning their cars to go to the elderly people that they look after. Some of these elderly people, it's their only point of contact throughout the day and throughout the week. And they do go the extra mile. Not just carers, but district nurses who have to go out round elderly people too. And I just want to make a proposal that our officers maybe go away and think of this and bring back a paper. I think this council should have an annual carers award which people can nominate people within the district who have went the extra mile and trying to help them. Now, this wouldn't cost much. You're talking maybe about an engraved rose bowl and maybe a small check to the overall winner. But I think that this would be a token of our council saying to carers out there, thank you very much for looking after our elderly people. Because honestly think that they do go the extra mile, and there's nobody in this council chamber that would disagree with me when you see the work that they do in all conditions. Let's remember, it's 365 days of the year. It's not just at set times of year, it's every day of the year, Christmas Day, Easter Sunday, whatever. So I would like to think, and I would make a proposal that maybe the officers would go away and bring back a paper how we could do that there, because people out there could nominate these carers, you know, on an annual basis. And what we could do is we could go out in the press and advertise it, for example, maybe 8 weeks before it's going to happen. You know, people can write in then, and then they can be judged. So, I would like to think that we could do that. Councillor Andrews?
Thank you very much, Chair. In relation to what you've said, I agree with you 110% that you do have a lot of people who go the extra mile, such as carers and home helps and district nurses, etc. And they're out all weathers and 365 days a year, as you say. And I'd say for the services that they do, they save a government a fortune. I'd only be too glad to second your proposal, and hopefully that we'll have an award or something in place to recognise our unsung heroes. Thank you.
Have enough. Yes. What do you call it? Car.
Thank you very much. Declaration of interest.
Just want to speak in this.
Sorry,
I agree with you. Every mother and carers coming up four times a day. But how are we going to pick someone? Is it fair to choose one of all them carers? They're all very hard workers. I mean, somebody's going to have to pick one of all them people. Like, I don't know if it's appropriate or not. You know.
Well,
that's my only concern. I totally agree. That's a lovely thing to do, but I'm concerned I'm going to pick one person of maybe 400 carers and say they're the best. You know.
Well, could we do it on a DEA basis? Will you have one on each DEA and an overall winner?
I just want to make the one that have to pick one that's the best, you know. It'd be a tough call, you know. I there's four different ones coming my mother and they're all brilliant.
Yes, no.
You understand what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I was going to agree with what Councillor Dorn has said, because we don't realise how many carers there are out there and in what role they are as carers. We have trust carers, we have private companies with carers, and then we have the individuals who are caring for family members who are perhaps elderly and have disabilities or infirmities. You're talking about massive numbers there. And then the person or people who are going to end up with the responsibility of scoring and arriving at, even at the EA level, and arriving at who is going to be the recipient of an award, it's a massive, massive task. Now, I know even with the YAPTAs, there is a young carer selected from them, and it is quite a big task even to do it for young people. And you're not dealing with very big numbers there either.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware that the Trust just recently closed their project for awards in 7 different categories, and one of those was Care of the Year Award, which anybody could have nominated anyone for that role. So maybe if you want to look it up and see how that was operated, because that's obviously the Trust services, and they've actually asked us for people to nominate people, and then that went through obviously a scheme or whatever, so it was up to individuals, because quite often the best carer in the world will never be nominated, because they'll just go about their daily lives and their busy days. That's where you pick up on someone like that and actually nominate them through the Trust, which just literally closed on the 5th of March. And I had been in hospital that weekend, and I can tell you I could have nominated that entire department of any. But obviously I missed the allocated time, but that, you know, certainly look at that as a way of nominate and put someone forward.
That on board, Jimmy?
Yes, to see what we can do, because I honestly think, I honestly think, and I take on board what's been said here, you know, it's not everybody that's going to be nominated, and you're right, Councillor Patrick, maybe the best car in the world won't even be nominated in a sense in that, but, you know, when you see these people out here working away and that, and giving no thought to their own health and safety when they're doing this, and Councillor Dorn was right, you know, there's 4 different ones going to his mother, and they all go likely the extra mile, so they do to help. You know, rain, hail, snow, they're out there in the community and they're doing it. And, you know, it's just sort of some form of recognition that we're recognising that they're out there and they're doing this. So if you could bring something.
Chair, just on...
Now, Brian, Councillor Quinlan, will I let you in?
Different subject.
Right.
You mentioned about drugs. And quite, I would support any work that this council or any of the other agencies are doing on drugs. There already is a raft of programmes out there around drug awareness, which very well and hard-working people are running. The community don't seem to be engaging with them to the levels that they should. One of the things that I would like to see published and really highlighted is when there is drug seizure, how much is being seized. And there's no point in doing it on an individual. They have to do it in a year so that we can see which DEA, which town has a clearly recognised drug problem. Now, I know there's some towns they may have had 1 small drug seizure. There's other towns have had 6, 7, 8 drug seizures, 2 significant amounts. But the people out there aren't hearing that message clearly enough.
No, I take on board, and I think what we should be doing too as a council, and when I say council, I mean in partnership with the PCSP, them agencies out there that work in drugs and alcohol misuse and abuse, you know, we need to engage with them, get them in, get their stands and that there. We done it in Killeley 4 years ago, and I'm sure Councillor Andrews would agree, it was a success when that was rolled out, the number of people that came through and that there. You know, we had even talks with the young people, and the drug squad come to the Bridge Centre in Killeley. The Friday night group had them, and you know, they were there, they listened and that, and so on board. And how I know they listened is, some of their parents was telling me after and stopping and saying, such and such come home and stated this, says, I'll not be doing that. So, you know, young people do listen. So we need to be doing something there, rather than sweeping it under the carpet. Item 4, presentation by ORNI, service level agreement, and I would just like to welcome Carolyn Ferris along to give the presentation. You're welcome, Carolyn. Sorry, Carlin, I should have said OBE. Yeah. It's not down here, but.
Very modest. Be modest into the afternoon. Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much for the invitation to come along this evening. What I want to give a very short presentation tonight on is the work that we've been doing under this year's service level agreement, and then look forward to April 2018 for the next year and the work that we would like to undertake. For the past 2 years, we've been under a service level agreement working on community trails within the area. I can just say that you're the first council in Northern Ireland that within a very few weeks will have its first community trail plan. So that's something I think Newry Morning Down Council can be very proud of. And we're hoping that the work that we've been doing with yourselves, that then we can encourage other councils to actually to do something very similar. Just to refresh your memory, what are community trails? Community trails are basically trails that link communities to green space or outdoor spaces, or link communities together. And the most important thing about them is really to try and get the trails very close to where people live, so that it's providing doorstep opportunities for people. So Bunkers Hill Community Trail in Castlewellan and Tubbawarra and Cross Gar are two fantastic examples in the area of community trails, where people literally walk out their doors and have a 2 to 3 kilometre trail to walk around. They can include linear routes, which are community trails, or they can be site-based. So for instance, in a forest, and those are called community trail hubs. And when all the trails then link together, we end up with a community trail network. What does a community trail look like then? Well, it can be a variety of path types. So it's not necessarily a hard constructed path. It can be a grassy trail, or it could be a muddy trail. It can be for walkers and bikers, so multiple or single users. As already said, it should be accessible from the doorstep. It is for both recreational and functional trips. And they should be mostly off-road, so we're looking for at least 70% off-road on a community trail. Clearly, they must be accessible to the public. That's the basis of it all. So they can either be on private land or on public land. When they're on private land, then the council needs to work with the landowner to either enter into a public right-of-way or a permissive path agreement. When they're on public land, so for instance on Forest Service land, the council has to enter into a license or a lease arrangement. Community trail planning, it's not a simple process, and it's a very, very slow process, and it's very, very time intensive. There's 7 stages to get to the final output for each trail. First of all, you have the development of the trail plan itself. Then an assessment of the potential trails within that plan, which involves more consultation. Then designing of the trails, if necessary. Some of them won't require detailed design, but some of them will. Identifying the project costs, then securing the necessary funding, delivering the trails, getting the word out that these trails actually exist, and then there's an ongoing management and maintenance cost as well. So for Newry Morning Down, 7 DEAs, last year we completed the trail plans for the Mourns and Sleep crew, and this year we have already completed 3 of them, Rowallan, Downpatrick and Crockleave, and we're just finishing off Newry and Sleep Gullion. So say within a month or so, Newry Morning Down Council would have a community trail plan for its entire area. So we've done the 5 and we had already completed the 2 the previous year. So for stage two this year, then we looked and focused on Sleeve Croob and the Mourns community trail plans, and we went back to the plans, and the key criteria for taking any community trail forward is based on 2 things. Is there a local demand? Because if there's not buy-in from the local community, because they're community trails, then there's no point in progressing those. And is landowner permission in place, or is it likely in the short term to be put in place? So when we went back to Sleeve Croob and the Mourns, based on those key criteria, then we produced for both of those areas a new summary document and a new map for each of the settlements. And if we take Sleeve Croob, after all of that was done and the summary and the consultation for stage 2, we've still ended up with 63 potential community trails within the Sleeve Croob DEA alone. So you can see just how much work there's going to be in each of the DEAs moving forward. Within the Sleeve Croob DEA, we identified 7 community hubs. And then we came back to council, some of you are aware, through the DEAs and asked for funding for actual trail design in January. So the council gave us, I think from memory it was about 15,000. We employed a trail designer from Scotland, Pete Lang, very well known trail designer, and he's over at present doing the detailed design of Tivnagara, Bow Hill, Million Tree Wood, Corey Wood, Rumkeira and Holly Mount, and Balnahinch has come in right at the very end, a conversation with the rugby club. So that's where we are with those 6 sites. Those 6 sites we would ideally this year love to progress them, secure the funding for them and actually see delivery of them on the ground. But that is out with the service level agreement that we've proposed for this year. In the Mourns then, there is potential for community trails, linear community trails. You can see up there's about 5 or 6 of them. Then there's the potential of a trail hub in Tipperary Wood. And then something that came up at the DEAs was the investigation of connecting Briansford, Castlewell and Newcastle Macaran and Drum, and then the Mourne Forest. All I would say about the last point, about further investigation, those are very, very strategic projects. So whether or not they sit within community development or whether they sit within tourism, that's a question for another day, I suppose. Because those will not be easy projects to deliver. What we hope then to do in 2018-19 under our service level agreement is, first of all, when we're now getting to the stage of securing funding for these projects and actually putting them on the ground, we need to think about developing a management plan for them going forward so that the council is very sure who is going to manage them, who's going to maintain them, who's going to insure them, and what are the resources required to actually do all of those. We haven't given much thought to it at present. We have some ideas in our heads, but that's something we really need to look at and look across and see what works well and what doesn't work well, to see if we could make much more use of volunteers within the community. And looking potentially at external contractors or internal contractors within the council. So there's a major piece of work to be considered there. Because whilst it's easy, I'm sure you all know, to get capital money to deliver projects, it's always a lot harder to get ongoing money to keep these trails all up and going. Stage 2 then, for the 5 DEAs we've worked on this year, we want to take them to the next stage 2. So again, at the end of the year, we would hope to have a new summary document for all 5 of them, mapped out again for each of the settlements in consultation with the local community. Round two consultation, so for every single settlement that has been included within the new summary document, we start consultation again with the key community representatives. Actually get out on the ground, visit each of the potential community trails, attend the DEA forums, etc., give them an update. And we wanted very much the approach going forward, and today is what we've seen in Sleep Crew in particular. It's very much, it has to be a community-led approach to the whole project. So again, identifying what is the local demand, prioritising the trails, identifying issues, and particularly identifying landowners. The community are the best placed people, obviously, to identify landowners within their areas and to speak to those people. If we can't get agreement from landowners, then they're not likely to proceed, and we will look at other options moving forward. Community trails then, the linear ones and the hubs, all of those will need to look at developing the appropriate access agreements for them, so whether that's permissive path agreements or public rights of way. So very much our work is working with the community to get the evidence forms in place and mentoring and working alongside the communities to do that. And then what we do is we can't obviously do the legal side of that. That comes back in-house to the rights of way or the countryside officers within the councils to take that forward. So any of our linear trails, then we hope to have trail designed with the full cost so that basically we have more shovel-ready projects ready to try and look for funding in the future. The community trails, the ones that said the seven sites that we're working on the trail design, again, secure the project funding for those, and if money becomes available, actually take those seven projects right through to delivery on the ground, right down to the signage, promotion, community trail maps, etc. So I have sent a paper to you about the outputs, but just to summarise it, because it can be quite complicated, I think there's so much consultation and filtering out projects as we go along through the year. But we would hope at the end of April next year to have two community trails or hubs in each of the DEAs, so 14 community trails, fully designed, fully costed, take forward the five hubs, actually secure the funding for those around the Sleep Crew area, and work towards delivery of trails and hubs on the ground. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Carolyn, could you turn your mic off then, please? Councillor Enright.
Carolyn, I'm delighted to see this process underway, and I know at the budgeting round, we also made sure in the Downpatrick area we had a few bogfield to extend this work into particularly Lake Hale and East Down in general, you know. And this is a critical piece of work, really, in terms of the health and well-being of local communities, because you can see villages like Strangford who have well-established community trails. People are out walking them, and all throughout the year. You can see other areas where Caliph, they'd want to be, but they're actually walking down quite dangerous roads because some of the paths they would have walked before have been blocked by individuals. And in some cases, the council is actually asserting those routes and attempting to get them open through law. I know that that more generally, my son, for instance, helped map out how the community trails in County Mayo would link together. And that's been an enormous boost to the tourism industry in County Mayo. And my sister, who's the chief planning officer in Kerry County Council, similarly helps the process of laying out the various trails in County Kerry. And I presume I don't have to tell you how extraordinarily successful that has been in driving both the benefit of each of the little villages, but also tourism right across the county of Kerry when they're all linked together. So I don't think this is appreciated in Northern Ireland. We don't have that level of tourism that they have in the west and south of Ireland. Pardon? But in my area in particular, there's a lot of community activism in trying to get the trails reopened. And I know that there are a couple of choke points within council that we need to consider. In particular, I know that there are 7 rights of way that are in various various stages of the process of being asserted. And the chief difficulty we have, of course, is that the countryside access officer isn't a full-time countryside officer, certainly in our end of the council. And all sorts of other roles have been allocated to her down through the years, so much so it's a very part-time job. So even though some critical paths like those between Ballyculture and Strangford, for instance, are acknowledged as something that the council wants to assert, the countryside officer simply hasn't got time to go and meet the landowner and say, look, you can't be knocking down that bridge or you can't be blocking that path. We're going to assert this. Could you please come to some voluntary arrangement? Because we may have to take you to court like we did in Cargill Lane, you know? He hasn't got time. Similarly, we've got a situation whereby the legal department is understaffed the assertion of rights of way it proceeds at a pace that would make snails look as if they were travelling at interstellar speeds. To sort of turn around one particular point on one particular trail in terms of asserting it can take 6 months. I've seen in the past, say for instance, the trail between Lisban and Steamboat Quay was lost simply because it took 4 countryside officers over 15 years to actually get anything done about it, one handing over to the other on the legal side. There's a problem there which needs to be looked at, and I think it's something we need to discuss in council. How can we remove those blockages within the council to enable you to deliver for us countryside trails in each of the villages? I mean, the cheapest way of delivering a countryside trail is to open the ones that already exist, you know? But we in council are the biggest obstacle to that, and we need to figure out what those resources are within council. And it'd be useful to know, is it something that can be outsourced to you, or can we get more resources in council to make sure we have dedicated resources in the legal and countryside officers' office? And we have situations where, I'll finish on this chairperson. We have a situation where a good friend of the chairperson, Bill Corry, haven't completely given up on the council at this stage now. He's going around collecting up evidence forms for farmers, the Killyleagh wildfowlers, environmentalists, fishermen, to lay out in evidence forms.
Do you have a question?
I'm coming to that. The link between Delamont Park, Mullock Quay, the Barrier, and Castle Ward, a vital link, okay? Something the council should have been doing, but hasn't had the time to be doing. Do you follow me? So my key thing is to you, what is it we... Clearly, if you want to deliver those community trails in each of those villages, and if we are going to link them all up as well...
Chair, do you have a question?
I am. You're going to need proper support within the council, and I think it's fair to say, from all I've said, that we don't have sufficient time, either for the countryside officer or in our legal department, to help you. And how can we fix that? Or is it something we can outsource to you? Or how can we tackle this issue?
Councillor McMurray.
Okay, I'll try and be brief. Thank you, Karen, for the presentation and all the work that you've done. I mean, I'm from living in Slieve Croob, and I can definitely tell you that things like Bunkers Hill are such an asset to the town, and all the proposed sites are so, I mean, the communities, and they are so looking forward to them, and I mean, communities are always coming forward as well with more places. So, I mean, it's just something for maybe the other DAAs, it's just how popular this scheme is. I suppose there's 2 points really, one sort of very, very connected to what you say, and also one's maybe on a slight tangent, but you mentioned linking some of those more strategic projects, and you're sort of saying, well, that's sort of a direction for us, of the policy. I think that does tie in very strongly with our tourism. But, you know, and you mentioned as well how we're the first council to do this. But I suppose, really, would you have any advice for us and any feedback how good we are at maybe being strategic and how our directorates maybe link up within this sort of outdoor recreation? So that's sort of one point for us. And then secondly, again, on the slight tangent, there was the talk of mountain bike skills, and I, you know, from my knowledge of outdoor recreation in Northern Ireland, and the pump tracks and the mountain bike trails you've done in Ross Trevor, Castle Wellen, further afield in Dava. I do remember there was a feasibility study done in Tipperary Wood, in just outside Newcastle. I mean, recently we have discussed in this this committee about having Islands Park as a resource for which the community use. Would you see the placing of a pump track in Islands Park as being slightly more strategic vision to a town than possibly being stuck out the back of a residential area? So those are sort of two questions there for Ms. Ferris. Thank you.
Thinking of developing Island Park now as a community resource, I would certainly move it out into the open space as well. I mean, it's not uncommon for parks across the United Kingdom to have pump tracks and family focused areas, and a pump track is one of the best ways you'll ever do that in a park, is to bring families in, is put in a pump track. So yes, I would say move it out of Tipperary Wood, bring it out into the open space. So that's, I think, addresses that one. In terms of the strategic side of it, I'm not quite sure what you're asking, but in terms of, I think what we strongly believe is that the relationship between the community and tourism are definitely linked. But I would always say it's very important to start off with the community. What you do for the community first can then be used as a tourism asset. And I'll go back to what Cadogan said. The whole basis of us developing community trails really came from an initiative in Scotland called Core Path Networks, where under Scottish legislation, every single town, village, settlement in Scotland has to have a core path network around it for the local people, so that they can go out of their door and have a short walk. But if you go to somewhere like the Cairngorms, you will find that every single village in the Cairngorms has its own community path network, but they all link up as a wonderful tourism asset. So if you're staying in Nephi Bridge for the night, in the evening time, you will go for a walk on the local community trail because it's something else to do and it's been well planned, it's signed well, there's a community trail leaflet for it, so it gives the tourist or the visitor an added thing to do. So it works for the community, but it's also an added bonus for tourism. Yes, can benefit from.
Sure. Could I just take, Connie, would it be possible maybe to turn your mic off? Because what we need to do is, whenever you're speaking, for the recording, you need to be speaking into your mic. So you do. So, Brian.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I would like to welcome your presentation. I thought it was very interesting. But, there's always a but. With cycling and welcome fields, we have found to our cost that they don't always go together. In the past, we had trouble with the towpath. I have been approached several times now about the new greenway at Newry, where people, walkers, are clashing with cyclists. So would we be looking at trying to create a shared space or trying to lay out individual spaces? Certain sections for walkers, certain sections for cyclists. And around here, there would also have to be certain sections for equestrian, because that's one of the things that has raised its head a couple of times, is the horse fraternity being removed from some of the existing places that they can use. Also, a lot of our coastline, you've referenced coastal paths there several times, and one in particular, Ballymartin. There is no coastal path in Ballymartin. It doesn't exist. There is a wee bit outside it on the Kilkeel side for about half a mile, but there's already someone trying to close it up as well. So I would be there. And then we also still have the famous Tullahoe. it still hasn't been settled, and how many years has it been running on for? So I would agree with a certain amount of what Cadogan says. We need to be able to put the resources in there to enforce the past. But there is a lot of past throughout the moorns and that, I know, that are just overgrown. And if we were able to put the resources and the time into clearing them, but the thing is, they're not connected. They're connected on very narrow, busy, rural side roads. But they connect up townlands and bits of farms. They could be opened up to create a certain amount of wetland trail quite easily. But it's just fitting them into a process, I think. Thank you.
No. No, you've been in. No, you've been in. So you have. You have been in. So you have. Anyone else? No. Well, Ireland. What was your question?
My question was, we had two choke points. The countryside officer, who's only part time on the job, and the legal department. Is this something that we can outsource to for an organisation like yours, or do we need to employ more resources?
Well, that's what you take that up with the officers or senior management. And that are, but I'm led to believe that our countryside officer is a full-time officer. So there is. Heller Wilson. Well, any time I want her, I can get access there. She's not in a part-time business. Well, the officer will check that out for you. Councillor Enright.
Sure.
The external person, what she's telling us, does her organisation also be able to provide that?
Sure, if I may, I might be able to clear this up fairly quickly. That's the whole purpose of having Carolyn and her team in, is to assist with the issues that you've just mentioned. So Outdoor Recreation and I can do a lot of the legwork for us in terms of identifying paths. Obviously, our own access officer has to do the assertions if we need to have assertions or permissive path agreements, but that's the whole purpose of outsourcing it to Outdoor Recreation NI. So, hope that gives you some comfort.
Happy enough, Councillor. Once again, Karen, thank you very much. Please.
Chair, if I may also, just while Carolyn is clearing up, it's my intention to bring the SLA that Carolyn's just done the presentation on back to you next month for approval. So that will be on the basis of the presentation that you've just seen. If there are any other aspects that you think about that you would like added in between now and then, if you want to talk to me about it, we'll see if we can do that.
Could I start off with one small point?
Bring it back to the officer. Councillor, he's only after just saying there are any wee points, bring back, and hopefully he will include it. So he will. Going back, folks, to item 3 is the action sheets. Anything arising? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4, page 5, and page 6. Right, councillors,
sorry, Chair, just on the action sheet there regarding the Commonwealth Games. We noticed there in the news that one of our team had to withdraw, and would the replacement person, will they be available?
Well, it wouldn't be from the district, councillor. He's been selected by Team Northern Ireland. So technically, if he doesn't go, you know, we won't be eligible for the money.
Sorry, the replacement is a girl.
What's that?
The replacement is a girl. Yeah.
For. The boxer. Is she from the area? No, we're in. Doesn't qualify. I'm talking about her own district. You know. No, Lisburn's not our district. Councillors, because I believe in it, 6:15, I'm going to take item 14 now. And it's Ballinhench Olympic, Kilmore playing fields. And I'll hand over to Connor.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report for committee to consider. It's a request from Ballinhench Olympic. Has now been promoted, or has potentially been promoted up into the Premier League and the Amateur League, which means that they need identified as a single premise pitch. They don't have that because currently they're using Kilmore, and they're requesting to list the Kilmore playing field itself as their pitch going forward into next season. To do that, they have to do some remedial works and upgrade to the site. That's including new fencing around the pitch and fencing from the changing area up to the pitch, excluding the players, which they're requesting that they can carry out and do themselves at the cost. So what we're requesting from committee is to make approval that we allow Kilmore pitch to be leased out, or sorry, to be given to Ballinhench on a seasonal hire use, and for them to carry out these works to allow them to have the primacy use of it.
Connor, thank you very much. Well, Ballinhench Olympic, it's there in the report. Ballinhench Olympic, for the last 2 or 3 years, has been finding it difficult to fulfil their fixtures over the year because of where they play or where they want to play. As a councillor for the Rowallan area, along with Councillor Andrews and the Member of Parliament, we've already had 2 or 3 meetings with the Education Authority in relation to them leasing the high school in Ballinhench. That was all going well. So it was, we were coming to an agreement in rental charges and that, but unfortunately, because of their success and the IFI changing their pitch size requirements, that now does not meet their needs, so they're having to look elsewhere. Now, they're top of the league at the minute, and it looks like they're going to win this league, so they are. The unfortunate thing is, if they can't get a ground for next season, there's a possibility that they could drop 3 or 4 divisions. Now, here is a football club that is willing to put their own finances into this. And I think that it's only right that we work with them and help them achieve this. Now, it'll only be in the short term. It could be maybe for 2 or 3 seasons. So it could, until they get something. But it would be disgraceful if they win the league, and because they have nowhere to play, they drop 2 or 3 leagues, so they do at the start of the new season. And I think, rather than being promoted, they could end up being relegated. Now, I think we as a council should be working with them. And to that end, I would, as chair of this committee, make it a proposal that we go with the officer's recommendation, because this needs to be dealt with ASAP, and I would make that a proposal in relation to it, because Ballinhench Olympic do excellent work, not just in the Ballinhench area, it also goes over into the Sleaf Croob area and that, and they have that catchment area as well, so they do. So I would make it a proposal that we go with the officer's recommendation. Councillor Hale?
I'd like to second that as well, please.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yep. Just a query on, I'd be happy to propose that. I'm just querying here on, there's other teams, is there, that use that area and use that pitch? How would they be accommodated?
And will they be given due consideration?
No, currently at the moment that the pitch itself, Bonhint's reserves, if you like, are currently used in the Saturday afternoons. So what they're looking is to use the same bookings for that session and use that as their primary pitch for the upgrade and the intermediate. The youth league is still playing on Saturday morning, will still play on the pitch on Saturday morning.
It's no different, they just want the confirmation.
No, they just want confirmation.
Yeah, I'm happy to propose that.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. I do support the desire of Valentine's Club. Again, as it says in the report, they're a victim of their own success. But in relation, just as I'd like to highlight a few reactions in relation to the Kilmore Plainfields, I know that the car park that I lobbied for is getting extended now next year, which is going to take a lot of pressure off the parking, which is welcome. But you know, last year, along with Councillor Walker and representatives of various sporting associations in the Crossgar area, we did have a meeting one Friday evening in relation to floodlighting. The fact is, what happened is a lot of young people that were using the Kilmore playing fields on a Friday evening then come 7 o'clock because they were outside of a dark evening. They had to go home because there was no floodlighting in the facility, and also other issues raised was the likes of netting around the perimeter of the pitch because local residents, their hearts were broke with footballs going into fields and livestock and everything. And maybe as a tandem with this exercise, maybe we could look at floodlight provision, also the factors of appropriate netting around the perimeter of the pitch. But I do support the efforts that's been made, and the fact that other teams that use the facilities are everybody's going to be looked after in the short term. But I welcome and support the Ballinhance Olympic, but just some of the points of raise with you, maybe we can look into it, because the local associations that did have a meeting with highlight those as important matters. So maybe if you can't give me an answer, Roland, maybe you'd send me an email in due course, but thank you.
Right. All in agreement?
It sounds a good idea, and it's always good to see local teams do well and develop facilities. But just reading the notes very briefly, there was a mention of the cricket. I mean, just to carry
on. Last year there are 3 games on it.
What's that like?
And they're in the summer months when there is no football.
Is that what I'm saying? Does the cricket can still be accommodated, or will the cricket be put? I mean, you'd hate to see one. I mean, just given the renaissance that cricket's going through, I mean, I'm not making a particularly big deal of it, and if it's not used, it's not a big issue.
No, it's not an issue. That's what I'm saying. Council officers will be working with all involved.
That's what I was asking. Thank you.
Right, so all in agreement, yes. Item 5, Councillor Quinn.
Yes, I just want to ensure that the IFI would be kept on board. Because if this team can go up and do that well, and then for them to shift the goalpost on them, surely they should be coming in with some funds to help achieve this.
No, well, the IFA, they have shifted the goalpost in the pitch size, you know, so they have, you know.
Chair, just on that, there was an IFA funding programme probably about 5 or 6 years ago when the new rules came out. There hasn't been one since, and there certainly isn't any funding at the minute. But the club's going to fund this themselves, so.
Yes, at no cost to the council. Right. Item 5, are you taking this, Michael?
It's Janine.
Chair, yes, we have provided members with a short overview of progress against the agreed actions contained within the AHC business plan, and I will be dealing with those specific to community engagement. Very briefly, in 2017-18 we committed to delivery against 17 targets. We're pleased to report that all actions have been progressed. 15 out of the 17 supporting actions have been achieved or on track to be achieved. The remaining 2 actions have been progressed, have been subject to some delay. So we're now working with our colleagues in performance improvement to refine the actions and the measures of success for inclusion in next year's business plan. I'm sure happy to take any questions.
Any questions? No. All in agreement then? Right. Item 6, Janine again.
Chair, this is our monthly DEA action, our report from the DEA forums, just breaks down some of the activities within certain DEAs that have met. We are looking at activities around lifelong partnership, shared learning for schools, and a lot of work around mental health this month, Chair.
Lovely enough. Right. Item 7, financial assistance update. Janine again. Could I have a proposal for the DEA? Councillor Andrews. Councillor Dorn.
Financial assistance. Okay. Chair, as the report is details, the financial assistance call closed on the 16th of February. In total, there were 445 applications received across 7 themes. 3 of those themes don't pose any problems, but the amount requested in 4 themes exceeded the available budget. They were sports development, major minor events, summer schemes, and community engagement. We've broken down the report as per usual for members, but just in summary, Chair, it seems that 172 projects were deemed successful, but there is currently no financial assistance budget available to support the successful groups. We're therefore recommending that we committee consider and agree to score and rank projects of available funding, and so that we deplete the budget available, and that any applicants that have received a pass score and do not receive funding will try and get funding throughout the year. We also seek approval to fund the applications in Call 1 for the 18-19 period and for financial assistance Call 2, and the themes are listed. Live here, love here, good relations, PCSP, they're all contained within the report.
Thank you, Janine. Firstly, I have to say, this is actually a good news story that so many groups is applying for this funding. So it is, you know, evidence that our capacity building workshops are working, and our more groups are actually being successful when they're applying. So they are. So we're a victim of our own success here in relation to them workshops. So we are. Sadly, we don't have enough money in the budget, so we don't for this. Now, a couple of questions here is, what is the likelihood of finding this additional revenue this year? You know, how much additional money would it take to award all successful groups funding, right? You know, I think even looking forward to next year, I think we need a more realistic budget for this. So we do, because we're having group been successful time and time again, so we are, and that, and we don't have the money and to fund them. There's going to be a lot of disappointed people here. What can we do, Janine? You know, do we look for in-year savings? Do we even look at the reserves? Because all these groups that has passed, every one of them, no doubt about it, are doing excellent work in the district, so they are. They're running excellent projects and that, so they are. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people out there and groups out there. But you name a few things that I've asked you there. Could you?
Yes, Chair. In terms of identifying in-year savings, with budget constraints at the minute, it's probably very unlikely that we would come into the amount of money we would need to meet all of the successful applicants. If Council decide to fund 50% of every successful application, we'll need an additional £48,000 within the budget. If Council decide to fund all of the successful groups 100% of what they have asked, Chair, you could be looking at over £250,000 in additional budget.
Any councillors, any questions?
I had any, but you talked on.
No, well, I'm sure. I'm
sure. I know, but that's why I did a question. You asked if we have any questions. I did, but you...
Oh, so we're going to need a proposal here for the officer's recommendation. Councillor Timmins and Councillor Dorn. Everybody happy? Hello. No. Right. Item 8. South Armagh, South Down Peace Centre. Janine, you're taking this one as well.
Chair and members, you may recall a paper tabled to let you know that we were applying through SEUPB for the South Down South Armagh Peace Centre. We received notification from SEUPB that they want the application fail on 2 points. Insufficient evidence that the proposal will achieve the level of cross-community engagement envisaged, and also some issues around the long-term financial sustainability of the centre. We're seeking committee approval to go back, appoint consultants to engage with the local PEL community and assist with the preparation of information required for any new application, and then permission to resubmit the application provided all of the conditions have been met.
Councillor Hart.
Proposed
by Councillor Hart. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Loughlin. Thank you very much. Item 9.
Yes, Chair. Piece 4, partnership. This is the recommendations. We're asked the committee to approve the recommendations arising from the Piece 4 partnership. The additional money that has been provided by Piece 4 on the themes children and young people and building positive relations, and they're detailed within the report.
In the report. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Is there any opportunity within this for some of that funding maybe to be worked and helped for the groups for that did lose out in the financial assistance? I know it's not our money, but if they did a project that could work round, I know Megan would agree. But you know, like a lot of those summer schemes there have missed out. But surely to goodness in that youth-led programme or children and young people, surely to goodness that there's the opportunity there to work for those groups that could maybe they could be advised to steer themselves towards their, that maybe they're not successful, maybe they're not going to actually get the physical cash in their hands, but a project or something could be to help to guide them at the same time as their summer schemes or whatever they want to do. Yeah, new application, but still with the correct guidance, they might benefit out of that. Even better, they might even do better in it. Yes, Janine?
Sure, it is. Yes, it's creative suggestion. We will go and ask that question.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Potter.
Not good, Michael.
Yeah.
A proposed by Councillor Fitzpatrick. Do you have a second? Councillor Hart. Item 10, higher charge in community centres. And that is. Janine?
Chair, members, the report details with the merge of the two councils, we had a number of community centre charges in operation. We brought a previous paper to committee in February 2017 and got approval to allow those charges. We're requesting that committee allow us to continue those charges within this financial year, not to increase them in any way.
Do I could you? Councillor Hart, proposed. Second by Councillor. By Liz. All in agreement? Go ahead, Councillor.
How far have we got in reviewing those villages or towns that don't have community centres and identifying which ones will qualify as a community centre?
The update from the Community Centre Effectiveness Review, as you are aware, came through this committee and the recommendations were approved. So we are taking each of those recommendations. The first thing we have to do is develop some type of framework around what our definition of a community centre is. And we will bring back reports to committee as and when we work through those.
Happy enough, Councillor. Right. Item 11, Kitty's Road business case.
Yes, Chair. Very briefly, we look for the committee to consider and agree to allowing us to procure and subsequently appoint contractors for the construction of a new community centre at Kitty's Road, and the business case is attached for information also.
Councillor Dorn.
I'd like to propose this. Kitty's Road Community Association has been working together for about 30 years. Very hard working cross-community association. And this is brilliant news for the whole community down there. The building room at the minute is complete shag. You know, I think they call it a hen hut down there, you know. But I'd just like to know how long it's going to take, what the procedure is, when the first block we built. Michael, maybe help us out with your name.
What's your name?
We are keen, councillor, to get this building out of the ground. It'll go through the national process, so we will go out and procure a contractor. We will keep in contact with yourselves and the group. I think Julia attends as an officer from council anyway, and keep the communication lines open, but it's not our intention to delay this any further. Move as quickly as we can.
Councillor Quinn.
Yes, I was just going to say that this has been dragging on for too many years now, and this group are struggling hard in a facility that's not fit for purpose and doing an excellent job. And I would second this proposal.
Thank you. I'm going to hand over now to Councillor Keller.
Okay, everyone, I know that some people have to go away too. There's an event tonight and we're under time pressure constraints. I have to go away at 7 o'clock for myself, so I would plead for everybody's indulgence and try and get through this as quick as we can. Item number 12, request to invite expressions of interest for the card shop, Market Street, Mary and Lamb, to the rear of Bessworth Community Centre. Janine?
Yes, Chair. Very briefly, we're asking committee to consider and agree to allow us to proceed with a public advertising for expressions of interest. Really, this only relates to the site to the rear of Bessworth Community Centre. And we're made aware by our local councillor that the card shop would most likely be seeking to renew. So we're going to ask that our legal team make contact with them and ensure that's followed up.
Okay. Do you have any comments or proposals?
I'm happy to oppose it.
Yep. Anyone second that? All right. Okay. Item number 13, annual business plan review for 2017-18 leisure and sport year.
Chair, thank you. Similar to Janine's report earlier, we provided you with an overview of the committed actions for the leisure and sports section for 2017-18. In total, there were 11 actions, 6 completed with 5 partially completed. And leading on from the chairperson's opening remarks, the recent recruitment of the Tier 5 postholders, particularly in the outdoor leisure section, will hopefully make progress in the incoming year, and we'll work with our colleagues in performance improvement to report in progress for the forthcoming year.
Do we have any comments or any questions? No? Okay. Do we need a proposal? Or is that just for note? Okay. Item number 14 has already been dealt with. Number 15, Mayo Bridge Play Park. Connor?
Thank you, Chair. This is a proposal asking committee to agree to the final stage of the consultation process on our play strategy, and particularly on the Mayo Bridge Play Park. The conclusion is to proceed with the Mayo Bridge Play Park with a design agreed by Play Board with a budget of
$120,000.
I'd like to propose that before I do that, I just want to pay absolute tribute to Michael and his team. Absolute long journey to get here to this length of time. My eldest son was 8, he's now 20. It's been a long journey, a long road. The absolute excitement that has just been generated in our village, and I suppose Michael knows the absolute excitement I have, is beyond myself. But I just know that I've had 2 children since that was ever even a mention. It has just been tremendous. It would be a fantastic asset to it. It will be, as we said, the tourism. We wanted to be the premier destination in Uriemore, and I actually think that this play park will be the premier play park. I know it's going to be the first one in our new thing. So I'm bigging it up there, guys. It's been fantastic. Working with Playboard NI, Connor, Wilkipede, Michael yourself has just been fantastic. And now Declan's on board as well. It's just been brilliant. So I'm actually really, really looking forward. I will actually believe it. My name is not Thomas, but I will believe it when it's there. Okay? So, you know, after so long, so I am proposing it. And I'm delighted, and I just am so excited, and
okay.
There's no idea, Andrew, this is so long in the making. Yes.
Okay, thanks for that. Councillor Loughran, just second that, and Councillor Quinn, your comment to make? Or?
Well, I was going to say.
Okay, thank you. No. So what do you mean by that? Sorry, Councillor Loughran had her light lit well before yourself now, Councillor Quinn. So... So there's no issue about who was the right order was made there. Item number 16, SAMHSA service level agreement.
Thank you, Chair. This is asking committee to agree to the service level agreement between Council and the SAMHSA. SAMHSA has been established now a year and has been registered with Company House. So it's just the terms of reference is attached to the paper, so it's just agree to the SLA.
Any comments or proposals?
Just, I'd like to propose that I actually was at the launch of the Newry Forum last night, and it's very exciting for the area. And I think a lot of groups out there don't even realise what the benefits are. I've spoke even just from last night's meeting to some of the local Gaelic clubs and that who were aware of it but not 100% sure what it was. So I think as councillors we should be definitely continuing to encourage groups to sign up so they can reap the benefits. So I'll add on to everybody involved.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons.
I'd like to second that. I would concur with what Liz has said there. When we went to the Cotleaf one, there's so many that they didn't know to sign up that this money would be worked, you know, amongst each other. It's just even if you had, you know, a brief synopsis of what it means or whatever, and if it was sent out to all the councillors, that maybe then we as a group could send out, because there's a lot of groups that we're all attached to or that we know of the groups or we know people, that we can actually actively promote it ourselves on behalf of the council, because obviously that's what part of it, to empower people as well. So if there was a brief synopsis and we could, there probably is one somewhere.
Councillor Kimmins, I'm assuming you're obviously content for that to be included in that proposal, okay?
Yeah, so it just means then we can get more involved. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm assuming that we have the agreement of everyone here then. Okay, thank you. Item number 17, Hospital Road Capital Project, Ian Connor.
Okay, thank you again, Chair. This is a request to bring forward capital works that's already programmed within the budget for the Hospital Road is fencing it, and the second string to it is to extend the kickabout fence into Carnegat. Officers have already met with the community groups to agree the works itself, so it's just an agreement to bring the works forward into this financial year.
Yeah, just to propose, I know Councillor Hart have been working on that for quite a while in Parkhead anyway. That's
okay,
great.
Thank you. Anyone to second that proposal? Councillor Lockwood? Okay, thank you. Item number 18, Multi Sports Facility Sports Hub.
Again, thanks, Chair. This is again on the back of last month's committee report where we asked to go out and carry out a feasibility study on the 14 recommendation sports hubs within the sports facility strategy. That is completed, and there is three projects particularly has come to the top score, and we'll request and the committee agree that we put the initial expression of interest into the Sport NIE's funding stream that closes now. It's been extended till the 18th of May.
Okay, just one comment, Connor, could I ask, is that 3G, 4G pitches that would be in the facilities, or is it the grass facility? Or?
The various projects on the Newry one is 3G,
3G.
Pitch, yeah, and the St Mark's one is a grass pitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough. Councillor Kimmins, anyone to second that? Yep, Councillor Fitzpatrick, okay, thank you. Number 19 then, Business Plan Review 2017-18, Health and Wellbeing.
Chair, I'll take that because Owen Devon's not here this evening. Mm. So, the Business Plan Review is similar to the other sections. It's in front of you if anybody has any questions. I'll keep them noted down and give them to you all.
Any comments, or are we all content to mark the report noted? Yep, thank you. Item number 20, consultation on working with communities and implementing geological disposal.
Yep, Chair. This is a consultation on how to consult, so it's in front of you. If you have any questions, I'm happy to try and answer.
Any comments, Councillor Taylor?
Chair, just as I say, you know, noticing that it's a consultation on a consultation, the typical norm for us at this stage now. But I don't think we can be happy with any way that this consultation is going to go. Essentially, the consultation that's going to end up coming out is going to say, would you like to trade off £1 million a year to your community to have a very harmful site, a geological disposal facility, of which in Sweden, within the last 2 months, a court case was brought up and the GDF facility there was actually revoked because of the nature of the material that would be used in the storage of the nuclear waste. You know, at the end of the day, people have to know about this. This is going to be a facility that could be anywhere. It could be here in the six counties. It could be over in England, Scotland, or Wales. We have to be against this. You know, as a council in the past, we've been against the Sellafield site. We've been against what's been done at Sellafield site, especially around the reprocessing.
and we've been against new nuclear. I suppose, as a council, we have signed up to NFLA, which is Nuclear Free Local Authorities, and again, they would be very much against the GDF here. Now, I know that recently there was a team of ourselves went across, representatives from all the political parties. Unfortunately, due to the weather, we couldn't all make it to Sellafield, but Owen would have been on site and will have seen some of the things. He will have had some of the reports and he'll have some information. But I don't think we can be happy with whatever way this is going to go and whatever way they're going to consult on this. You know, it's very leading to say that, you know, £1 million per community, you know, but what are you trading off? You know, I think it's just, it's typical. It's typical of selling a cart, you know, but it's a consultation on the consultation. We'll have to just wait for the major consultation to come through, and at that point, I'll certainly be putting my strong views across that we should not be entertaining the thought of it at all in this area.
Okay, but we ask obviously that Councillor James' comments are noted at this stage. Does anyone else have any comment to make? Or proposer and seconder for the report? Councillor Jenner, anyone to second? Councillor Enright. Item number 21 is an item restricted in accordance with Part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. It's the New Down Leisure Centre staffing arrangements. This item is deemed to be exempt under Paragraph 3 of Part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Could I have a proposal that we go into? Okay. 20 seconds. Councillor Lockwood. Numbers items, number 22. Right, okay. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Traylor to approve new staff structures for Down Leisure Centre as circulated, commence recruitment of additional posts, continue consultations with staff and trade unions over proposed changes to hours and shift patterns. Okay, so say the next number of items are for noting in terms of community engagement. Number 22, Social Investment Fund update. Any comments? Okay. Item number 23, Stanza Executive Committee appointment. Again, any comments? Okay. Well, I think that's us then. Thanks again for your attendance and safe journey home. Thank you.